Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the beautiful things you've already blessed us with. Now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we do that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. It's important that we follow Jesus Christ. There's a lot of deceivers out there. There's a lot of false shepherds. There's a lot of individuals that would have you follow them rather than following Jesus Christ. We've seen lots of examples of that through the ages. And we'd see individuals that like to puff themselves up and call themselves the shepherd, the shepherd of the church, or the shepherd of a flock, and have people follow them, which is a sacrilege, which is contrary to the Word of God. There's only one shepherd, and that's Jesus Christ, the true shepherd. So never follow a man, never follow a pastor or a deacon or an evangelist or a missionary or a preacher or a teacher. Never follow any of those. You follow Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 reads, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Note, follow his steps. Not to follow anyone else, but to follow the steps of Jesus Christ. Now, if there is a preacher or a teacher that has given you an example of how to follow the steps of Jesus Christ, emphasizing that the one that you're truly following is Jesus Christ, then they're okay. The apostles themselves actually did that, saying, "You see us here around you, amongst you, follow us because we are following Jesus Christ." And they never lifted themselves up as being the one to follow, as being primarily the only one to follow, but it is knowing that we are part of the family. You can come together as a group following with a family. And there are leaders, different levels within the family of who to look up to as an example because they have years of experience or they have gifts from the Lord that they can share. But it comes from the Lord. Always keep your eyes on the Lord. That's the key thing. Just as he said here as well, the suffered. Jesus Christ suffered. Jesus Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Letting us know that there is going to be some suffering when we truly are on the path of following Jesus Christ. There is persecution. There is hardships. There is challenges in being a true and faithful Christian. There is hardships in that. But there's also so much more. Beautiful, graceful, wondrous blessings and joyfulness and peace and comfort. But understand there is going to also be sufferings. And know, like Sister Shirley pointed out, the devil's behind those sufferings. He's going to come at you in all kinds of ways to make you suffer, just like he did Jesus Christ. And we got to acknowledge that, know that there is going to be some hard times. But know that you fully trust in Jesus Christ, he's going to see you through it. He'll give you the comfort and peace of knowing. And when you have those sufferings, you should also take that as a bit of encouragement. Know that if things were so easy, you get to wonder, well, why hasn't the devil put an obstacle or a stumbling block or a hardship in my path? Because you're not doing anything to upset him. So, you ain't doing anything to bother me, so I'm just going to let you alone because you're not achieving anything that I would need to spend any time to make you stop doing. So we got to figure that as well. Over in Matthew chapter 16, emphasizing the actual burden that we wind up putting on or carrying is referred to as a cross. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The taking up of the cross is taking on the burden, taking on the load that is set for you to carry. But also know that you don't have to carry that on your own might. Jesus Christ will give you an opportunity to carry a load and the ability to carry a load. Just like the wheelbarrow analogy we use so often. He gives you that wheelbarrow and he puts in what you need to carry, what you need to take up that hill. only do that, to take on your cross, not yours and everybody else's. As if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That means put Jesus Christ above even yourself. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. That's an awesome verse right there. That you carrying that load that he has set for you to carry, and only for you to carry, you're going to have rewards for that. The rewards shouldn't be your motivation, of course, but it's comforting to know that everything that you've done is going to be looked at. You're going to be given the proper honor and glory and credit and rewards and blessings for carrying your cross. Read 27 again. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Everyone according to their works will be rewarded. And back over in Matthew chapter 7, he's telling us the path that we need to be on. When we're following him, what kind of path is this? In Matthew chapter 7, pick it up here in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's look at this a little bit. It's interesting the way the King James Version has been translated, the Old English words and so forth. And you got to sometimes go back and look at the original writings in the Greek and the Hebrew and so forth. But here we see where it says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Straight, typically when you hear the word straight, you're thinking that something is not crooked. But note how it is spelled. It is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. This straight, it's a stenos, which means bound or formed by obstacles, standing close to the opening. So this is an opening, a straight opening. This is an opening that is crowded by obstacles, and it has been narrowed, because it says, and narrow is the way. And narrow is a Greek word, telebo, which means with troubles and tribulation. So let's look at that again in verse 14. Because straight is the gate, crowded by obstacles is the gate, and narrow is the way, filled with troubles and tribulation. So it isn't just a nice little narrow gate you got to squeeze yourself in, and then you're in there and it's wide open. No, this is a journey. This is a path. This is a obstacle-filled highway or byway or traveling place, a pathway, an obstacle-filled pathway for us to go down through. But the Lord can clear that path for us. He can strengthen us to overcome those obstacles and the tribulation and the challenges when we keep him in our sight and not on the problems and the concerns and the obstacles. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. There's a lot of that. Like we were reading in Sunday school about how there was a man that was dwelt with an evil spirit within the synagogue. The infiltrators have been here ever since the fall of man. Ever since the devil started his work, he's had his followers. And there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of false teaching. And it is on the increase. The closer we get to the end days, the more you're going to see the rise of Antichrist, false teachers, false prophets infiltrating the church itself, proclaiming to be Christian but are Antichrist. And we see in so much more of that. I could go on to some examples and so forth, but I don't want to get into that. You can acknowledge that yourself. You can see it around us all over today. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? This is an important part of this verse. Knowing them by their fruits. That means we need to look at them. We need to judge them in a form of evaluation and determination. What is this? What is the reality of this that you're looking at? That form of judgment. Not the form of judgment which is condemnation. You don't condemn someone even if they are a false prophet or an antichrist or a reprobate or an evil person. You do not do that. That's for the Lord to do, not us. But you can evaluate them. You can determine, are they righteous or are they unrighteous? And you can tell that by their fruits. What are they truly doing? What are they truly displaying? What are they showing the world? How are they performing? What do they say? Where do they go? Those things need to be looked at. When you're looking at someone to determine whether they are a brother or sister in Christ or whether they are a wolf in sheep's clothing. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You're going to know the ones that you can look up to and listen to, and the ones you need to turn off or turn away from or plug your ears. You're going to be told that. When you truly get tied into the Holy Ghost and relationship with Him, He's going to reveal to you what is right, what is wrong. He's going to reveal to you who you can trust and who you can't trust. But know utmost, always keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He does use individuals to help spread the gospel. He gives us the opportunity to be a part of His work. In that, we can look to others that have had years of experience, that have had revelation from the Lord to help us understand the Word, to help us understand our walk and our relationship with the Lord. Yes, but always keep your eyes primarily on Jesus Christ and His Word and listening to the Holy Ghost. Always make the difference there. Always understand that. Anytime you hear anybody else say anything whatsoever, always listen to that person with a skeptical ear. Where did that come from? What is the source of that? Is that from God or is that from themselves or from the devil? Always. Everyone, including me, when you hear anything I say, did I get that because that's what Rick Brown said? Or is that I shared to you what the Word of God said? If it comes out of the Word of God, you can depend on it. If it's a revelation from the Holy Ghost, you can depend on it. If it's something I come up with, that's just my opinion. It's worth nothing. Just my opinion. Always decipher that. Always discern that. Always really pay attention when you're hearing anybody talk about anything or teach anything. Where did that come from? Consider the source. Only follow Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Over in John chapter 10, here we can see how He clearly tells us that we need to follow Him, that He is our shepherd. He is the only one and true shepherd. And He is the door that opens up into salvation. There are many doors out there that you can go into and be trapped and pulled down into the pits of hell. In John chapter 10, pick it up here in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now these are the sheep that have really been paying attention, that have heard and recognized the voice of the shepherd. These are those that have went into the right door and listened to the right shepherd who came in by the right door and following the right one, not the one who come in just to try to pull the people away or the sheep away. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The true one and only shepherd, like I spoke of earlier, the only one to follow, the only door that we need to go into. He's knocking, He's asking all of us, he's crying out to all of us, come on in, be a part of the fold, and follow him, the true shepherd. Verse 17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's where it shows the difference between a hireling and the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, laid his life down for us, died on that cross, took on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, for us, bought us all back, even those that will never come to trust him. He bought them back as well, so therefore gives him the authority to do with them as he pleases come judgment day, because they're his. He chooses to let them come into the glory, everlasting life, eternity on the new earth, or let them dive right into the lake of fire, because it's by their choice. As it continues, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? That's those antichrists. That's those false teachers. That's those that are infiltrators that are trying to pull people away. Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. You got to really wonder why he didn't, like we were talking about earlier in Sunday school. It wasn't the right time to do that. He still had more work to do. He was setting the ground. He was preparing the ground. It wasn't yet time to proclaim that. He would, has, and does, but that wasn't the time yet. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That was a clear answer, but yet they were not hearing it. He wasn't verbally proclaiming to them in that way, but he was showing them by example, by fulfilling the many, many prophecies of the Old Testament that they should have known, studying it and preaching it themselves, but yet weren't recognizing it. Going through all the religion of the Old Testament, but not understanding what it all meant, what it all stood for. Not recognizing what was being fulfilled right in front of their face, Him proclaiming who He is continuously to them, but them not hearing it. I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We are those that are following Him, that have trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We hear His word. We know His word. We acknowledge it. We believe it. The outsiders out there that are not of the fold hear it. They don't see it. They don't believe it. They don't even truly hear it. They don't take it in. They don't receive it at all. That's what He's speaking of here, the difference between those. Those that are outside of it cannot understand it until they open their ears and their eyes. And I give unto them eternal life. Who? Those that are truly following Him. Verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's awesome that we have that security. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That statement right there was a pretty clear statement He was giving them, that Him and the Father are one, but they wanted to stone Him to death after that. Didn't want to hear it, didn't want to receive it. Plainly telling them, they asked Him, can't you plainly tell us? He plainly tells them, and what do? Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. That's what their reaction was. And that's what we see in the world today. When you go out there and you're spreading the gospel, when you're telling people the pathway to get on, they say, oh, you're hateful. You're judgmental. No. If we were hateful, we'd just let you wallow in your sins and not say anything to you because we know what's right, and then we would just take it for ourselves and selfishly keep it for ourselves and not try to share it. But because we try to share it, because we reach out to them, because we show them the light, they're upset. They say we hate them, and we're showing them the light. They don't want to see the light because that reveals their sin. It reveals to them that they're on the wrong path, and they don't like that. Took up the stones to stone Him. As it says over in 2 Peter, the false prophets and false teachers once again, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That swift destruction is going to come upon all those that follow the false teachers. We've been given the instructions. We've been given the examples. We've been given the testimony of many in the past of the truth of the Word of God, of Jesus Christ being the true shepherd, of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, of Jesus Christ being God in the flesh. And yet there's so many deniers out there, so many false teachers, all associates of Satan. Chapter 2 again, that there were false prophets also among the people. See, that was going on back then. Peter was dealing with this. Been going on all the way back to the fall. On the increase more and more today. Because he clearly says, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. See, they sneak them in with subtlety. Slowly altering, manipulating, perverting the church. You sure see a lot of perverted churches these days. Perversions of all sorts. You have homosexuals and lesbians that have been lifted up to the position of pastors in churches right here in the valley. You have churches that have accepted alcoholism and, well, alcohol use. They don't call it alcoholism. They call it alcohol use as being acceptable among the Christians. Wrong, wrong, wrong. false teachings, heresies, damnable heresies, as it says, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You have that politician, I can't think of his name right now, a squirrely little fellow that has been appointed a high position in politics who is a homosexual. But they were talking about him the other day that he is a Christian and he's a homosexual, proclaiming, bragging about being a pervert, an abomination. But he also said, well, I'm a Christian. Well, if he's doing that and proclaiming he's a Christian, he's really got a lot to answer for. If he's truly a born-again Christian, he would be bearing the fruits of a Christian, not bearing the fruits of an antichrist, of an ungodly individual, not flaunting an abomination of God and proclaiming that he's Christian. He said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. And that's what we see today. There's a lot of followers of these false teachings, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Like I was talking about earlier. You talking the truth, they're going to say you're evil, you're hateful. Oh, you're intolerant. Yes, we're intolerant, intolerant of sin. We're supposed to be. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They in it for the money and the fame and the glory, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They are going to be held accountable. There is going to be a day where they are going to all answer for that. 2 John chapter 7 emphasizes this again. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's one of the most profound things that are going on, is those that deny Jesus Christ completely. And there's a lot of that going on. You have the wolves in sheep clothing, those that claim to be Christians and are clearly not, hidden within the church and within Christendom. And then you got those that are flat out anti-Christ, like the Black Lives Matter movement and the Antifa and all the other hate groups that are out there that are clearly anti-Christ movement. And then you have those false religions that are worldwide false religions, like Hinduism and Buddhism, and you could go on and on and on. Those are those that clearly deny Jesus Christ as Lord. As for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. They are antichrist. They are against Jesus Christ. In 3 John verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So what way should we follow? We follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only true shepherd, the only one to follow, only follow Jesus Christ, period. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so powerful. It's so current. So many things that are going on in the world today, and we really truly need to look into your word to find what we need to do and to find that proper pathway. And please help all of us that have trusted you as our Lord and Savior to shine your light into this dark world so others can see the path to come to you and have all the many things you have promised us. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.